Blog Talk Radio.
For tonight's show, because not only is it something that is inspirational, but it will also give good food for thought for young, aspiring football players. That is who we cater to, and tonight's show is no different than any other. I have the producer and director of the documentary film Born to Lead. This is a Living Large production. And just two great people, George Antonopoulos and Laura Slice. So I'm going to let them join on to our conversation tonight. But they have created a film about a young man named Sal Annesi. He is somebody who unfortunately has passed away, but he was an All-American quarterback at Vista High School in San Diego. And he happened to be the first Polynesian kid to go off and be a Division I-A quarterback. And he went to the University of Colorado, extremely talented kid, and he just led that team to new heights. And unfortunately, the team grew even more and really took off after his untimely death. So once again, George Antonopoulos and Laura Slice, I'm going to bring them on here and let them talk about the journey of bringing this film to fruition, but also the story of Sal and why he is such an inspirational story. So, Laura and George, do I have you?
We're here.
Yes. Hello, Terrence. Hello, Blog Talk Radio audience. How are you?
Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for freeing up the time to join us in the locker room tonight. I know both of you guys are busy people, so we're appreciative and we're excited to have you guys.
Glad to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So let's get started, because we roughly have about 40 minutes to go, and I want to give all of our listeners a chance to really hear the story of Sal Annesi and the story of the film Born to Lead, but also to give you guys a chance to give them some insight to what it took to really get this film off the ground. So once again, appreciate you. And tell us a little bit, and George, we'll start off with you. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind making this film happen.
Well, that's a great question, because that's really where it all started, was when I entered the University of Colorado in the fall of 1986, the same semester as Sal. And so I watched the entire story unfold before my eyes, and it was nothing short of incredible, having kind of lived through each and every moment of this incredible story. Sal was, as you said, an All-American quarterback out of Vista High School in San Diego, California. And he entered University of Colorado in fall of 86. He sat out his first year. He was ineligible to play. So he would play flag football. There was, you know, flag football tournament there at Colorado on the campus. And, you know, I'd be on my flag football team, and he was on his with the other players. And the thing is that Sal wasn't yet the superstar, but that was about to change in 1987-88.
Gotcha. So when you signed up to go to the University of Colorado, it wasn't necessarily because of football being a powerhouse at the time.
No, I mean, you know, my top three schools were UCLA, Stanford, and Colorado as far as where I kind of dreamt of going to college. And, you know, I didn't have it easy. I didn't have a free ride or anything like that. Colorado's team was good, but it was always overpowered by Oklahoma and Nebraska growing up. So you didn't really see Colorado as like the Big Eight powerhouse before they went into the Big 12 and then the Pac-12 where Colorado is now. But, again, I think there was an incredible dynamic that was occurring right at that moment in the mid-'80s, and the chief architect was Coach Bill McCartney.
Definitely. The great Coach Bill McCartney, and we'll get into him and how influential he was with all of this as the show goes on tonight. And Laura is the producer of this film, and how, what drew you to this story, Laura? How did you get involved with such a great film?
Well, George and I, when we came together, we met in New York City, actually in entertainment. I was doing theater, and we had talked about this story and about how it would be a great feature film. And when I saw some of the footage and realized how amazing and compelling these characters were and how it touched thousands of people in this footage, I said, we've got to do a documentary to show people how amazing this story really is. We were setting out to actually write a treatment for the feature, and on paper, it didn't really sound that amazing. But with this footage, it was like, I mean, it was a light bulb went off, and we had to start putting this together to gather more footage and form this documentary. So I'm a storyteller, and that's why I started to direct this, and it's been quite a journey. It's been 5 years already. And
wow.
It's been a lot of ups and downs, but it's a tremendous story, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
Wow, that's fabulous. And all of our listeners, hopefully, if you haven't had the chance, you guys, check out on YouTube, go to the Before You Go Pro Facebook page. We have put the link up so you can check out the trailer to the film Born to Lead. Once again, this is a Living Large production, and George and Laura have done an amazing job putting together the story of Sal Annesi and what he meant to the University of Colorado and that football team. So if you guys haven't checked it out, go to YouTube and check it out. We do have a call-in number. It's area code 310-807-5195 if you want to talk to George or Laura about the film and, you know, kind of the journey behind the film. So, George, when you were at the University of Colorado, you watched all of this unfold. Do you feel like the student body really got behind this story, or was it just a football team thing?
No, it absolutely, something magical was starting to occur. Basically, if you could just imagine at the beginning of, say, 1986, Folsom Field, and that's the stadium there in Boulder, Colorado for the football team, it was not a complete sellout. The games were not selling out, you know, right away, and there had been a couple years of some ups and downs in the football program as Coach McCartney was building it. As the 1986 season unfolded into the 1987 season, Colorado's winning percentage went dramatically higher. We went to the Freedom Bowl, and CU's team was 7-4, and there was incredible potential because of the incredible recruitment that Coach McCartney and Coach Gary Barnett were introducing into the University of Colorado program. So now we're attracting all these All-American players from California, Texas, Florida, the East Coast. So now what's happening is all of these great high school players are coming to Boulder. Now Coach McCartney was building a powerhouse team in the Big Eight. So it really was a snowball effect.
Wow. And go ahead.
Well, the magical moment when Sal started against Washington State is really kind of the turning point where the student body really came on board, and now you didn't just have fans. You had raving lunatic, you know, like, I mean, these were some of the most incredible fans now in the country, and now the program was on par with, like, Michigan, Nebraska, Oklahoma, UCLA, USC, Texas, Notre Dame. It was now becoming a national powerhouse because of the fan base was really rallying to the stadium and beyond.
Definitely. And go ahead, Laura.
Sal was quickly, in 1988, becoming one of their star players. They had gone on to the Freedom Bowl. So it was picking up speed, and more people in the student body were going to the games and were getting more excited. So when Sal took a turn for the worst, it was literally in the papers every single day. Everything from when he would go to a checkup, I mean, it was literally documented in the newspapers every day. So every single person on that campus and beyond knew what was going on. And it traveled all the way to California and areas where his family were and, you know, all over. There were even articles in Japan about it. So it became a story that was building more momentum, you know, as time went on. And so the student body all followed it very carefully because the media began following it very carefully.
And in you guys' opinion, do you believe that it was because he was such a great athlete or because he was the quarterback of the team or a little bit of both?
Well, I believe in looking at his entire life from the beginning, I believe, you know, Sal was really a born leader. He showed signs of a great work ethic at 9 and 10 years old, and he also had the beginnings of these leadership qualities that he grew up with. He was able to bring people together. He had this charisma, and he had this serious, keen eye for talent. So he blurred the lines of race, and he brought the team together. So he had all these qualities, these leadership qualities that were definitely evident in a quarterback and also evident in a coach. He would have made, like, an amazing coach and probably would have gone on to coach, you know, had he lived.
On that note, and this is in the film, Coach McCartney, when Coach McCartney actually said this, and this is really important to all the high school players listening in here. The way that Sal brought the team to a higher level, they were in the huddle. They were on the 8-yard line, their own 8-yard line, in Iowa City, playing the University of Iowa Hawkeyes in 1987. This is a top 10 team they were playing. Hayden Fry was the coach. University of Iowa Hawkeyes were like a powerhouse during that mid-80s, and Colorado was a big underdog in Iowa Stadium, and Colorado was down with, you know, just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter, and J.J. Flanagan, the tailback at CU at the time, said that, you know, along with Coach McCartney, how they were talking about it in the film, Sal got into the huddle, and a couple guys had their heads down like they were thinking that they were going to be defeated. And Sal looked at them, grabbed their face mask, and said, "What's wrong with you? Come on, get into the huddle here. We're going to get up to the line. We're going to march 90 yards down the field. We're going to score. We're going to win this game. We're going to get on the plane, and we're going to fly back to Boulder." That's a leader. That's a guy who elevates the game of other players who may need that inspiration or that motivation to lift their spirits and self-confidence so that they play at a higher level. That was what made Sal great, was his inspiration and his leadership abilities.
So to a certain extent, Sal's arrow trajectory was just shooting up, and he was really starting to blossom as the leader of the team, and that was right when everybody got the unfortunate news and found out that he had stomach cancer.
Yes, but he did not stop. That's the thing, and the difference between Sal and someone else, you know, on a different team that would get cancer and, you know, go away from the team. He wanted to stay with his team. So when he was constantly fighting this, okay, he would go to practice and watch them. He would, if he was stuck in the hospital having to go through chemotherapy or radiation, he would have the team would go and see him, and they would go over the playbook. He was constantly there wanting to, you know, live to watch them play. And every team player saw this and thought, you know, watching him fight to live made all their little teeny gripes and problems and egos, you know, not worth it. I mean, he was fighting to live. They had something bigger than themselves to become, to win for. And Sal brought them together, and they brought them in as one. They became one. And that really is, you know, it's a magic of a team to become one, to let go of all ego, to let go of it all, and to work for something greater than themselves. And this was a team that were all Americans, each person that was a substitute. You know, they were all fighting for time on the field. And each time, you know, they didn't get to play, they were like, I'm not going to get recruited. This sucks. I'm going to leave this team. You know, they were all thinking about themselves, worried about themselves. But once Sal got sick, things changed. They didn't care. They shared time on the field. They didn't think about getting recruited, and they didn't think about anything else except for winning for that team and winning for Sal, because he fought to live, and that's all they cared about. So it was something that was so magical.
I got chills just listening to you speak, especially with so much conviction, Laura. And, you know, it's really, a lot of times people think it always comes down to talent. But a lot of times with championship teams, there's a story behind it. You know, there's something that's pulling that team tight together to make them better than one, you know. And with Sal, it just really seems like he touched everybody to such a level that they wanted to fight for him and honor him. And this is just an amazing story. So talk to us a little bit. Now you've decided that, yes, we're gonna put this thing together and we're going to do this film. That's one thing, saying it in your head, but what was the defining moment, or what was it where you guys really started to put, you know, pin the paper and feet on the pavement and start really making the film?
So, you know, it all really started in my mind on the evening of January 1st, 1991. So you have to kind of, you know, now everybody needs to kind of go back here in time. And, you know, as Rocket Ishmael was returning a punt return in the Orange Bowl, when Colorado was playing Notre Dame for the national championship in Miami, Florida, on the evening of January 1st, 1991, I thought it was all over. I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe that Colorado got the rematch for Sal, and now Rocket Ishmael is going to ruin it for our entire lives. And So that play got called back with just a few minutes left in the national championship. Rocket Ismail's touchdown was negated. And so Colorado was on defense, Notre Dame was on offense, and Colorado intercepted, Dion Figures intercepted the ball with just a few minutes left, and so Colorado won the national championship 10-9 against Notre Dame on January 1st, 1991, and the spark went off in my mind that evening. And I'll never forget it because it just cemented in my mind, I'm like, there's something big that just happened here. Because, you know, I couldn't put all of the pieces together at that moment or even that year or even that entire decade of the 90s, but I nurtured it, and I then joined forces with Laura, and we then started working on the dramatic film Sal, and then Laura's, again, idea was to, as she alluded to earlier, how she said, we have all this incredible footage, and we have all this incredible, you know, all these relationships we've built with the, you know, with the teammates and the compelling, you know, the compelling choices for this film. What happened was we decided, because the economy was really bad in 2000, 2008, 2009, so we thought, you know, a documentary film would be the best course of action to go now. So we created Born to Lead, the Sal and Essay story. And we really didn't know how complex this was going to be. Like you said, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to go do it. We filmed in the following locations since 2009. We filmed in Boston, Massachusetts, in Minneapolis. We filmed in New Orleans, Louisiana. We filmed in Denver, Boulder, San Diego, Los Angeles. We filmed in Portland, Oregon. You know, we filmed all over the country. And
wow.
What happened was once we started getting the great interviews with the coaches and the players, then it just kind of spidered into it kind of morphed into this incredible momentum where then everybody wanted to, you know, assist us in making it even better and better. And the story unfolded even more. And so what happened is we, you know, put together this incredible documentary where, you know, we've got Coach Bill McCartney, Sal and Essay historical footage. We've got Sal's family, the McCartney family, Coach Lou Holtz, Coach Les Miles from LSU. We've got Junior Seau, who unfortunately passed away in 2012. You know, he was best friends with Sal growing up. They played together, Pop Warner. We've got all the, you know, big-name players from the national championship season for the Buffaloes of 90-91. You know, you name it, they're in the film, and we really went to incredible lengths to make it a complete story and not just stop by saying, okay, we have enough now. We really wanted to go the full distance so that we could, you know, give the audience this incredible, inspirational, uplifting story that they deserve to see.
Well, also on a technical point of view, you know, being 25 years ago, the technology has changed so much that, you know, we had Betamax, you know, beta tapes and old footage, you know, from fans and stuff that had taped from their television, you know, different newscasts and different plays and this and that. And we had reels of old film footage from, like, from 1970s and 80s when he was a child that literally it was disintegrating and smelled like vinegar. I mean, it was like we had to get these old, you know, reels to go look at it. So there was a lot of research we had to do. I mean, you're taking 21-plus years and trying to put it into a story of an hour and a half that's actually compelling to watch. It's not that easy, and it takes a lot of time, money, effort, and, you know, such. So that's why it's taken so long.
Yeah, I mean, this is before the Internet or before YouTube or before Facebook. Or, you know, a lot of the in the film business, they're called assets. Assets can be, you know, a tape that Laura was alluding to. Like, it could be a beta tape or a VHS cassette or an old film reel. And you
magazine
have magazine articles. And what you have to do is you have to transcribe all that and get that all into unison so it's into one format. And that's the tricky part, and that's the expensive part of making a documentary film. But we uncovered all of the goodies, all the great stuff that's going to make Born to Lead, the Cell, and Essay Story very exciting. So we're the struggle was worth it was definitely worth it.
The average documentary takes 3 to 5 years,
yeah.
which I wish I had known that when I embarked on this,
yeah.
Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe ignorance is bliss.
Because when you're first starting...
Oh, it definitely is sometimes. Trust me. But as far as, I mean, Sal was an amazing athlete and sounds like just a great human being, a great person, somebody that you definitely want to be around. And the team rallied around his passing where they wanted to honor him and they won a national championship. And the light bulb goes off in your head, George. What do you want to really be conveyed with this film? What do you want? Is this a film that is more about Sal or the team or the combination of the two?
Well, I think we need to step back for a second before that's answered. Because, and especially for the high school players that are listening in on this, Sal just didn't show up one day and become a champion at the University of Colorado. Like you said, he was an All-American. He was an All-American at Vista High School in San Diego. In Sal's junior year in high school at Vista, they went to the state championship and they lost. So it's in the film, in some of his teammates from high school, and they said after the game, they were at the 50-yard line, this is after they lost, and they looked at each other and they said, we're going to be back next year and we're going to win this. So Sal never had anything come easy to him, even though he was a gifted athlete and even though he could bring the other players around him to higher levels. And even the student body population loved Sal. So that he's a real natural leader. So then fast forward to his senior year in high school, they went undefeated and won the CIF championship for the state of California, and they went undefeated and they won the state championship in high school in San Diego Chargers football stadium, Jack Murphy Stadium. That was in 1986 before it was Qualcomm Stadium. So I say that to preface with him then making his journey to University of Colorado. He did not get to play his first year because he was academically ineligible. Now, most guys, some guys would have quit or maybe gone the wrong direction or got caught up, but Sal was working out. He was going to the basketball games. He was getting together with the other guys who were academically ineligible that year. They were going and lifting. They were going and supporting the practices of his teammates. That's what made Sal special and different. He never gave up. He never quit, and that's the underlying theme with Sal and Essay is never give up, never quit, and that passion for life and that incredible will to live that Laura was alluding to earlier when he got sick in the spring of 1980, the winter and spring of 1989, that's what makes Sal great, and that's what makes him an incredible person and made him an incredible athlete, and his spirit just defied all odds as far as everyone rallying around him. So,
the way
the reception? Go ahead, Laura.
Thanks. The way I see it is that there's a huge educational value in this story. It doesn't. It's not about teams. It's not about CU. It's not about Nebraska. It's not about certain teams that you might like or hate. It transcends teams. And it transcends football. There's a higher value to learn in this. Team sports can teach us so much about life and about business and about, you know, everything. Football is family. There are so many things that these kids learned so fast. And other people can learn from this by seeing their story. You know, it's just, it's something that's so different.
and it needs to be told.
No, you're right, Laura. It definitely needs to be told, and I'm happy to help you guys share this story. Now, as far as all the people you guys reached out to make this film come together, and George, you mentioned some of them. These are some high-level people, Lou Holtz and Junior Seau, rest in peace. What was the reception from them or from you guys when you told them that you guys were making this film?
Well, you know, it's never easy. Terrence, it seems as if you would think that at all levels that you would have an easy kind of progress to make throughout the film. But, you know, there's a struggle involved with getting people on board. The toughest part is getting 100 people to all do the same thing, you know, to all say yes. And so not everybody says yes at the same time. So really it's that passion, that driving commitment and never giving up and, you know, just understanding that.
And that trust.
You know, and building the relationship and the trust with, you know, all the people. And so as soon as that kind of gets built up, then really everything starts to fall into place. So it was not easy getting a lot of the high-level people that you're going to see in the film and that you see in the trailer, but we did, and we didn't stop. And I think more than anything else, everyone realized this team that, you know, Laura and myself that we built, we're just not going to stop until we get it done. And so I think people respect that. And I think that transcends into sports and business that, you know, Laura was talking about earlier. And, whenever things got a little down, because they always do, we just kind of looked at each other and said, well, what would Sal do? And Sal would never give up. So we just said, you know, we're going to keep fighting and, you know, we'll get there.
You know, these players became very, very close to Sal. And, you know, they were touched by, usually at the age, I mean, for the most part, most people aren't that close to losing someone that they care about and touching death, you know, at a young age, at 17, 18, 19, you know. I mean, that's usually, they don't experience that. Well, when I interviewed a couple of the guys, one of the later interviews that we had, you know, they hadn't spoken about this ever to anyone. So it became very difficult. They had to stop in the middle of it because they had never, ever worked it out. They had never spoken to anybody about it. They had never worked it out. And they didn't realize that it would hit them so hard, you know? They became very emotional through it. And so it was something very, very, very personal to talk about, that they realized that, you know, I mean, one of the players had some personal effects of Sal's in a box that he had never really even opened, that he had kept with him for 20 years. And he's, you know, it just, everything came up in these interviews. So, you know, as great as footage that we got, it was very difficult for, you know, all parties talking about him. Every single person broke down, including the coaches. You know, it was a very personal story, and I don't think any of them really realized it until, you know, we had those 3- and 4-hour interviews.
It just sounds like he was so infectious to everybody that he was around, and I think, you know, there's just some special people that you come across in your life sometimes, and great teammates, coworkers, or, you know, family members, et cetera, where they're just so infectious. So it's a hell of a story, you guys. Once again, we're with the producer and director of the movie or film Born to Lead, the Sal Annese story, George Antonopoulos and Laura Fleiss. We appreciate everybody who has tuned in tonight. If you want to talk to them before the show's over, it is area code 310-807-5195 to call in. And the story is just so amazing. If I was to have you guys kind of finish this sentence. This film is made for or supposed to be seen by whom? Who do you guys really want this film to be seen by, and who do you think is going to get the most out of this type of film?
Well, not just because it's your audience, but really I think the kids.
Every athlete out
there.
I
think all the, you know, Pop Warner and up through high school athletes and even college athletes. And it doesn't necessarily have to be football, but I think it would be predominantly towards football, but it could include all athletics. I think that's really a big audience.
It has a great educational value, and we really, you know, we believe that's really the niche because you can learn so much more from it, especially kids that, you know, are aspiring to play team sports. And, you know, we definitely think that's the way to go.
And, of course, a big audience to finish that sentence that you said, Terrence, is going to be, you know, the University of Colorado alumni, worldwide, 250,000 people, fans from Nebraska that, you know, because that was Colorado's big rival, as you know, although that's not the primary, you know, target market. You know, Notre Dame, you know, that's a big audience there because of the two Orange Bowls, and Colorado had a bit of a rivalry with Notre Dame going into the 90s. And, you know, I think NCAA athletes are going to really respond well to this as well. So I think it'll transcend from Pop Warner all through NCAA.
And talk to me a little bit, George, about before we get out of here, and once again, appreciate you guys so much. I know you're busy with getting things prepared for the premiere of the film, and I just know you guys got a lot on your plate. Talk to me a little bit about the future or what you guys see as far as the vision of this film. Where do you guys want to take it next? What's the next step?
Well, we will get the film completed this year, and then we will have our distribution deal in place, and we'll determine what the outlet will be, whether it's video on demand, DVD, Netflix. Will, you know, definitely entertain the best marketing and promotional avenue for the distribution. And
but because of the educational value, we're definitely going to roll it out for educational purposes too.
So, and we think that Born to Lead, the Sal and Essie story, really has the power to be right up there as one of the greatest sports documentary films that's ever been made. That's kind of one of our primary mission statement goals.
Well, and just the content and once again the story behind it and the fact that it's a true story and you know, the production behind it, you guys, I really tip my hat to you guys for the production. I know you pulled in a few hired hands to help out with that, but you guys really did a great job with the film and getting all this put together. So I applaud you guys. And once again, I know it was a lot of work, and I appreciate you guys sharing this story. As far as people listening tonight, the kids are listening and the parents, would you guys have any advice or anything that maybe Sal would lend as far as advice for these young kids who are trying to get to the level that he did?
Really quickly, I just want to put a tag on what you were saying about the film and stuff, and I just want to say that film is definitely a team sport. So, you know, everyone's working together for the greater good and for one thing, you know, outside of all egos, and that's how a great film is made, just as a great team is formed.
Good point.
I would say that you know, because of his incredible work ethic and bringing people together and, you know, his charisma, I think that showed leadership. And so I think kids all over can show, you know, set the example of who you want to be, you know, and so other people can strive to be like you.
And on that note, to never, ever, ever, ever give up. And, you know, part of winning is knowing how to be a good loser along the way. When you do, you know, there's no such thing as failure. If you lose a game or you lose a championship or you lose a teammate, you're going to have loss in life. And so what Sal has taught us all is that even if you have loss in life, that you can still overcome that and you can win. And I think that's a big theme with the film Born to Lead, the Sal and Essie story.
And also because of, yes, and also because of academics. When Sal first went to CU, his first year he had to sit out. He could not play first string quarterback. So what did he do? He didn't sit and mope and be upset that he can't even go and watch them practice. He basically took the other guys that were also in this same position, and he worked out, and they worked out and played flag football and went through their own runs and their own, you know, things. So they would be prepared to jump right in as soon as they got there. And he's like, sure enough, one of the guys said, sure enough, Sal would be knocking on my door. Come on, let's go practice. Let's go work out. We're going to go do this. So they set their own structure. And so they were prepared when opportunity hit. And that's what you definitely can learn from Sal, is that he never gave up, and he always had an strict work ethic to become something better.
Well, there you have it, you guys. If you have not already checked out the trailer for this fabulous film, Born to Lead, the Sal and Essie story, please go to YouTube, check it out, type in Born to Lead. This is going to be a dynamic film. I can't wait till it's all the way finished and we can check it out this fall. And this isn't a football movie. This is a movie about a leader and about inspiration. So I appreciate you guys coming on tonight and sharing this film with our audience. And tell us a little bit about where people can find out more information or where they can reach out to you guys.
Absolutely. So you can go to www.borntoleadfilm.com, BORNTOLEAD film.com. And if you feel like making a donation, we're you know, more than happy to accept that. You can do that there. That's even after our Kickstarter campaign was successfully completed 2 months ago. And also you can go to www.salanese.com, SALAUNESE.com, and that's really our hub where you can see our blogs and our press, and really, you know, it'll be kind of the working center from now until the release of the film. And you can contact us directly, you know, from the websites there on the Contact Us button. And we'd love to hear from anyone and join our newsletter, join our blog, and stay tuned and join us on Facebook. At our Facebook film page is facebook.com/ Born to Lead Film. And we're really excited. And if there's any questions, we'd be happy to entertain those.
I really appreciate you guys once again. That is salanese.com, borntoleadfilm.com. You guys can get all the information. And just keep up to date with this film. And be ready when it comes out, because it's going to make some waves and turn some heads. So I can't wait. I'm biased because I am a CU alum. But once again, this is a film that's going to give kids, parents, coaches goosebumps when they check it out. So I appreciate you guys coming on tonight. You are always welcome to come into the locker room. George, Laura, you guys have a wonderful night, okay?
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you very much, Terrence. Thank you.
No problem. You guys have a good one. We'll talk to you later. So there you have it, you guys. This is another great BYGP locker room show. And a little twist, we actually brought on filmmakers and producers to get you guys thinking about other things you can do maybe after football, but also these are people that are doing a film on football. So this one really made sense. Once again, check out YouTube, Born to Lead, the Sal and Nessie story. Check out that official trailer. Looks like it's going to be a hot one. So come back next week. We will be back in the locker room on Tuesday with more hot content for you guys. We love you. We'll see you at the top, and we can't wait to have you in the end of the game. Bye-bye. Thank you.